It's been several years ago now, but I was making my way to the front of the building on a Sunday night, shaking hands, and came to twin boys who were seated on the very front row. They were 8 years old, and one of them said, "Mr. Bubba, are you preaching tonight?" And I said, "I sure am." And his eyes got real big, and his smile got real big, and my head got real big, and he turned to his twin brother and said, "He gives short lessons." And that's why he was excited. Well, I do everything short. And I don't plan to preach very long tonight, but I do beg of your attention in the time we do consider from the Word of God as we consider who will follow Jesus. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, I want to begin there at a statement Jesus made when he called two of his disciples to follow him. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, I invite your attention to verse 16. "And as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And they immediately left the nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and went away to follow him." Jesus took these fishermen, and did you notice what he said he was going to do for them? "I will make you become fishers of men." That was going to take training. That was going to require them to follow and watch Jesus and to see what he did. Because these were the men he would first send out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We call that the limited commission. But ultimately they would be sent to all the nations, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And they became fishers of men. On the day of Pentecost, they preached the gospel. And those who were baptized, it said, continued in the apostles' doctrine. And do you remember what it said they did after the persecution in connection with Stephen? They went everywhere preaching the word. As we think about following Jesus this week, we're going to have to think about following him as fishermen. As the song says, leading others to him. Doesn't it make sense that if he came to seek and save that which was lost, that those who followed him would be about that same work in the gospel? I want to illustrate that tonight by looking at three apostles that we don't know much about. In fact, we don't have a record of anything that they wrote in the New Testament world, any epistle. We don't have a record of a sermon that they preached. That's not been preserved or recorded for our learning. But what we have in John's Gospel, chapter 1, is them becoming fishers of men. So I want us to consider from John chapter 1 tonight, Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew. They're all here in John chapter 1. You know, when we think about evangelism or leading others to Jesus, we're tempted to think of that being people who are far away. In fact, we sometimes call that foreign work. And there are people who need the gospel who are far away. But what I want you to see tonight is when we lead others to Jesus, we're not going to have to go very far. We won't have to go into all the world. We can just go into our world, as we see with these three apostles. So let's start reading at verse 35 of John 1. Again, the next day, John, that is John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" I remember when I was a teenager, my mother asked me on one occasion, she said, "Why do you always answer a question with a question?" And I very cleverly, I thought, said, "What do you mean?" And then I got grounded. Well, they asked Jesus, or they answered Jesus' question, "What do you seek?" with a question. Did you notice that? What do you seek? Well, tell us, Jesus, where are you staying? That indicates that what they sought was going to take some time. They wanted to spend a conversation with Jesus where they could sit down and he could answer their questions. Are you the Lamb of God, as John says you are? Are you the Christ? Where are you staying? And notice Jesus said, "Come and you will see." They came, therefore, and saw where he was staying and stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak, remember it said he was standing there with two of his disciples, one of those who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Who will follow Jesus, leading others to him? First of all, you can lead your family to Jesus. Lead your family. I told you, you're not going to have to go very far to lead others to him. The first person Andrew thought about when he discovered this is the Messiah, the first thing he thought, "I've got to tell my brother Simon." Andrew is often called the overlooked apostle. The reason being is he is always described in connection, not for who he is, but for who his brother is. How would you like that? Somebody said, "Hey, I saw Andrew the other day." And the other guy says, "Andrew, let's see, Andrew, which one is Andrew?" "You know, Simon's brother." "Oh, yeah, Andrew, yeah, I know who you mean." Already in two separate readings, that's how he's been described for us. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. I mean, Andrew even got cut out of the Peter and James and John in a sailboat song. Andrew was there, but we don't even sing about him in that song. But can you imagine what the early church would have looked like and what the New Testament would look like if Andrew did not first find his brother Simon and say, "We found the Messiah"? We talk about Peter's confession in Matthew 16. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There's no Peter's confession without Andrew telling him, "We found the Christ." What a great service to the kingdom of God that Andrew brought his family to Jesus. The scriptures speak about the importance of leading your family to the Lord, of fathers being an influence on their children. We see this, for instance, all the way back, keep your finger here, but look to Genesis chapter 18, where God describes one of the reasons he chose Abraham to be the father of the faithful. Genesis chapter 18. And notice what we read at starting with verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." Abraham will command his family after him. And he will cause them not only to become a great and mighty nation, but through him all the families of the earth will be blessed. And we see it throughout the scriptures. We read about Noah. How many times have you heard people say that Noah preached all those years in the construction of the ark and didn't convert anybody? Well, is that what the scriptures say? Peter said there were 8 souls who were saved by water. The writer of Hebrews says, by faith, Noah in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. And how about Joshua, who made the great statement before the people of Israel in Joshua 24 and verse 15, "Choose for yourselves whom you will serve, but as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." You can lead your family to Jesus. Sometimes even among our own brethren, we'll hear things like, "Well, how many people have you baptized other than the children of the members of the church?" Well, do they not count? Are they not important? Are they not souls who've been saved? Lead your family to Jesus. Have such an effect that is what Paul said to Timothy. Remember in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, he talked about the sincere faith that dwells within you. But he said it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and then in you. See, Lois led her family to Jesus, and Eunice led her family to Jesus. And now Timothy's preaching the gospel in the city of Ephesus. Who will follow Jesus, leading others to him? When I was in college, there was a Wednesday night where an older man came forward during the invitation song. I'd never seen him before. It turned out that he was the husband of one of the ladies who I just assumed was a widow because she had always come by herself. And it turns out that he had been out of duty for 30 years. 30 years. Not only did he not serve the Lord, but he admitted he tried to discourage her from it. Obviously, people wanted to know, well, what after 30 years caused you to come back to the Lord? And he said, "I watched her for 30 years, and she never wavered. She never quit. She did what she knew was right, even though I was trying to lead her the other way. She led her husband to Jesus," as Peter would say, "without a word, just by her godly life." Lead your family to Jesus. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Andrew first found his own brother, Simon. Let's continue the reading at verse 43. The next day, he purposed to go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Bethsaida is a town on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. It's a little fishing village. And so it's surmised that Philip, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, was also a fisherman. But upon him investigating Jesus, his first thought was, "I've got to tell Nathanael." Now, Nathanael in John's gospel is always connected with Peter, with Philip. In those lists of the apostles that we studied in class this morning, Philip is always with Bartholomew. And so it is surmised that Bartholomew and Nathanael are the same individual. They're always listed together with Philip. Later on in John 20, in verse 2, Nathanael is mentioned in the company of other apostles. And so when you see Nathanael, it's likely that he's also Bartholomew from the other gospel. But I want you to see number two, when you lead others to Jesus, you don't have to go very far. You can lead your family to him. You can lead your friends to Jesus. Those in your company, those in your close relationships, those who need the Lord, you can lead your friends to Jesus. I was on my way home from the office a few years back and passed a guy on Fairmont Parkway in Pasadena who was holding a sign that said, "Free kittens." And I pulled over. And there was one, a little tuxedo cat, black and white. And I thought, that's the one for our family. And so I brought him home and showed him to my daughter Morgan and waited for the Father of the Year award. She said, "Where'd you get him?" I said, "Well, there was a man that had a sign, free kittens." She said, "I wonder if people would have stopped if he has had free Bibles." Broke my heart. There's the perspective of a child of seeing what's most important. And these are the people we come in contact with every day. We know them. We know their families. And we won't tell them about the most important news of all, that Jesus saves. And we can lead them to the Lord, just like Philip did Nathanael. Keep your place here, but look at Acts chapter 10, and I want you to notice what is said about Cornelius when he invited Peter to come to his house. Remember, Peter had received the vision, and Cornelius had called him because they wanted to hear the command of the Lord. But notice what it says about the people Cornelius had assembled for this hearing. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 24, "On the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends." This was too good to pass up. I've got an apostle of Jesus Christ coming to the house, and he's ready to tell us all that's been commanded by the Lord. Who needs to hear this? My friends and my family. He wanted to lead them to Jesus. And then in Mark chapter 5, there's a miracle that Jesus performs on the other side of the Sea of Galilee in the land of the Gerasenes. And there he encounters the man, remember, who was possessed by a legion of demons. And he had been living out in the tombs and running around naked and cutting himself. And Jesus healed him. And he asked Jesus if he could accompany him back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He wanted to follow Jesus. And the Lord said no. Well, why in the world wouldn't Jesus let him come with them? Well, look in Mark chapter 5 in verse 19. He did not let him, but said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." Remember, this man would have been unknown to the Jewish people. His most effective work would be to those who remembered his state before he was healed. And so Jesus said, "You go home and you tell your people what great things the Lord has done for you." And look at verse 20. "And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled." Question: has the Lord done great things for you? Has he shown mercy on you? Then go and report that to your people. Lead your friends to Jesus. And do you know what happens when your friends become disciples of the Lord? They become your family, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Who will follow Jesus? Leading others to him. John chapter 1 continues. So Philip finds Nathanael, his companion, his good friend, and says to him something very similar to what Andrew told Peter. "We have found the Messiah. This is the one we've been looking for. We've been studying about him. We've been waiting for him. And we have found him, Jesus of Nazareth." And notice Nathanael's response in verse 46. Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" When you look on your Bible maps, you'll notice that Cana of Galilee, that's where Nathanael was from, Cana and Nazareth were neighboring towns. And so maybe there was some sibling rivalry there. I remember when we went up to Canada, and the church there spoke disparagingly about people from Newfoundland. They called them Newfies. And they had all these Newfie jokes, which I have to tell you were just Aggie jokes with Newfie instead of Aggies. But maybe, just maybe, Nathanael's thinking, "This is supposed to be the greatest story ever told. And it's coming out of such an insignificant town, Nazareth." And I want you to appreciate Philip's simple response. And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Leading others to him, your family, your friends. Number three, the misinformed. You can lead the misinformed to Jesus because we're all too quickly say, well, they'll never believe. They believe something totally different. They're too far gone. What we ought to say is, come and see. Now, Philip had been with Jesus, and he had all his questions answered. So, Nathanael, if you feel that way, why don't you go and talk to him? Don't let your own prejudices or preconceptions keep you out of the kingdom. Go investigate that. Now, we face that all the time, don't we, in the Lord's body? Invite them to come to the gospel meeting we're having. Oh, well, you're the ones who think you're the only ones going to heaven. Well, come and see. See if you detect that spirit among our people. You may have heard that from somebody else. Come and make up your own mind. Come and see. Oh, well, you're the ones who don't believe in music as if we somehow deny its existence. Well, come and see. You've heard things about our worship. Just come and see and decide for yourself. Lead the misinformed to Jesus. I remember several years ago now, I was with Brother Bowman. We were going to visit somebody at the hospital, and then afterward we went to get some coffee and a donut right across the street. We walked in, and I went straight to the register, and Brother Bowman had seen somebody reading their Bible on the table by the door. And so he stopped, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get the secret to evangelism right here. I mean, I'm going to learn what you're supposed to say when you see somebody studying the Bible. And all he did was say, excuse me, sir, understandest thou what thou readest? He uses the King James. But you know, we make that complicated. What am I supposed to say? Where do I start? D took it right out of the book. Right out of Acts 8, Philip and the eunuch. You know what you can say? Come and see. Come and decide. See it for yourself. And Nathanael did. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said, how do you know me? They had just met, and Jesus is making this recommendation about the character of Nathanael. And he said, well, we've never spoken before. What do you know about me? And Jesus said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now this apparently was a place where Nathanael knew nobody was around to see me under that fig tree. That could not have happened by natural means. And that's why he then responds, you, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. It is as Philip told me, because nobody could have done what you've just done, lest they be God. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You'll see greater things, Nathanael, because you had an open, honest heart that was willing to come and see. Lead the misinformed to Jesus. Who will follow Jesus? Leading others to him. The scriptures don't tell about the end of Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew. History records that Andrew took the gospel into Western Greece, and there he was crucified on a cross in the shape of an X, still today referred to as St. Andrew's cross. Philip, history says, was stoned at Hierapolis in Phrygia. Bartholomew, tied in a sack and thrown in the sea. Jesus made them fishers of men. And they perished doing what Jesus made them to do. But they still are leading others to him and helping us become fishers of men. Who will follow Jesus? You might have noticed on your calendar for today that it is Palm Sunday. That's a commemoration of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding on the foal of a donkey, and the disciples laid down branches of palm trees. That's where it gets its name. It was the beginning of his final week on the earthly ministry, which is why Palm Sunday is always on the calendar the week before Easter Sunday. But Luke tells something that is unique among the gospel writers about what happened as Jesus entered the city. They were shouting, a quote from Psalm 118, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And some of the Pharisees told Jesus, "Rebuke your disciples. You tell them you're not the king. Why are they saying these things and attributing that prophecy to you?" And what's unique to Luke is that he says, if I tell them to be silent, the stones will cry out. That word stone is a prepared stone, a builder's stone, like the stones that would have been in the buildings of the city that they were entering. And Jesus' point was, these people have witnessed my miracles and heard my sermons. They're crying out. If they're silent, these very buildings have witnessed the same things, and they'll cry out too. It's the same word Peter used when he described each one of us. You are a living stone in the temple of God. And do you remember what he says? You proclaim the excellencies. You cry out. Show forth the praises of your King. That's why we're here, to cry out. Behold, the King is coming again. If you're not ready for the King's arrival, a song's been prepared that would encourage you to be right with the Lord. Confess your faith and be baptized, or come back to Him if we can be of encouragement or help to you. That's why we make this Lord, the Lord's invitation available at this time. Come right now while we stand up and while we sing.